نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد، فقال الله تعالى في القران المجيد: اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوه ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشبعا يخلقكم ما يشاء وهو العليم القدير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Firstly, on my behalf and on behalf of all of you, give mubarakbad to both the families and this nikah which has just taken place. The nikah khutbah which is recited, unfortunately, it is not translated, but the verses which have been included in the nikah khutbah, they provide instructions and guidance to the new family, that is the groom and the bride, how they should live with each other and how should they behave with each other. And also it gives instruction that as a result of this union, the generation which will come through, the children will come through, how will they be looked after, how they will be living. So the verses which I recited are quite relevant to the nikah itself. And it comes to my mind that the verse which I have just recited, it is also quite relevant to the new life and the life that we are living together as such. The verse which I have just recited, this is from Surah Ar-Rum, verse number 30. And it says, it is Allah who has created you. And the act of creation is the most powerful argument for the existence of Allah. If you remember the first wahi, which was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was answer to the question that Rasulullah was having at that time. And even we have that kind of question, we don't have time to think about us. We are born, children are born, they grow up, they live their life, but it never occurs in our mind why we have been created and that what is our goal, where we are going to end up. And therefore this verse also refers to the act of creation, as the first way he gave the act of creation. There Allah Ta'ala was identifying Himself to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I am the creator. And not only that, He created the whole thing in the world. Then the verse went even further to say, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. Because if you say, Allah Ta'ala has created insan, or man, humankind, is part of that creation, Allah didn't have to repeat that thing. Because man is automatically part of the creation. But Allah Ta'ala went out of the way to make a special mention that also Allah Ta'ala has created man. It is quite obvious the why Allah Ta'ala said that is because man was going to be recipient of this message that Allah Ta'ala has sent down. And that the creations are three types of creations, or two types of creation. One type of creation is that whose action has already been chalked out. They cannot deviate from their given course. The sun will come out and disappear, the moon will come out, the star will come out to go, the plant will grow, the fire will burn. All these properties which have been given there, it has already been sorted out. For the type of creation which has been given the faculty of reasoning and thinking, that is man. And it is by this faculty of reasoning and thinking that he decides what to do, what not to do. And that's why he is responsible for his action, for his deeds, whatever he does. So the verse which I have just recited from Surah Rum said, it is Allah who has created you. And created you in how? Created you in the state of weakness. That is, in the state of childhood, baby. When he is born, or she is born, she needs help. Can't change side, can't eat herself, can't do anything. That is the state of weakness in which she is, or he is. Constantly, he or she needs help. Then Allah Ta'ala says, same child, which until now was in the state of weakness, grows into adulthood. He becomes young. When he becomes young, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala gives him strength. How? His blood is hot. And he thinks he is like the star from heaven. He doesn't take anybody into consideration. He thinks he is everything. And at that time, he is such a heightened act of arrogance that he does not care about anybody else, that whatever he thinks, whatever he does, that is the right thing to do. Now this, but that is also the most dangerous period of his life. Because it is in this period of life, in this period, we can make it or break it. Now you see, then Allah Ta'ala says, same young man, who until now was hot in his blood, in his brain and everything else, he could marathon for 90 or 100 kilometers without any problem, nothing whatsoever. But the same young man, when he grows old, start growing old, and slowly and gradually, he reaches back to that present stage in which the child was born. He is old man. He was arthritis attacks him, or heart attack attacks him, whatever happens. He needs help. We think they are adult, but they are no longer adult. They have gone back to that stage in which the child was born. Now you see, ordinarily speaking, this phenomenon which I just mentioned, it is in all creations in this world, in this universe, plants or anything for that matter, the same thing happens. Now you see, when we start earning money, livelihood, it's a very short span of time. If you are studying or something, say by the age of 24, 25, then you graduate or do whatever, start earning. And by the age of 60 or 65, something, normally stop earning and people retire. And they cannot earn anymore. Nowadays the government rules apply. At the age of 60, which is not that old, but even then, they retire. So the earning period is a very short span. And it is in this period that we earn, and then we at the same time save something, so that that will come to our help at that time we will not be able to work. If this is the principle we apply everywhere, and think about it a little more carefully, that when the child is born, he needs help and everything else. And then the young age which comes. But that young age also at the age of forgetfulness and obliviousness. to a certain extent that we are senseless, almost. You see, if you look around the world today, Muslim world as a whole, there has never been a period in Islamic history, and listen carefully, there has never been a period in Islamic history that where the Muslims or Muslim community or put it that way, Muslim government as a whole, siding with non-Muslim governments and non-Muslim against Islam. One or two, yes, have been. But as a whole, has never been there. And therefore we, as a whole, I'm talking about, there are exceptions of course, but majority I'm talking about, in the Muslim world also, that we are fiqhi Muslims. We are legal Muslims, legally Muslims. We have the kalima, we have our aqaid, we have things there. Nobody can say that we are not Muslim. But the force which drives us to the goal, that has to be the whole of Islam. That is not only the aqaid, the ibadat we do somehow, the other whatever happens, but our ma'amilat and akhlaq, they are missing. And it is in this field, ma'amilat and akhlaq, when the man, when the Muslim is tested. That's how it does. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to appoint a governor. And he asked his companions, his friends, to recommend somebody for this post. And a Sahaba mentioned the name of a particular person. Hazrat Umar asked him, you are recommending him, that means you know him. Then he said, have you traveled with him? He said, no. He said, have you had any financial dealing with him? He said, no. He said, have you been his neighbor? He said, no. Then I said, you don't know him. Because man opens up in all these three situations. Nowadays, when you go for Hajj, mashallah, all of you do Hajj, mashallah, in much more comfort at the moment. But about 50, 60 years ago, there used to be fight there the Hajj time. Who get the better place? Who get the near the bathroom? Who near the this thing? And therefore, India and Pakistan, there used to be a proverb in Urdu. If you go to, for Hajj, two friends, if you go to Hajj, and if they are still a main friend, that means Hajj has been accepted. Because each one look for his own comfort and not prepared to sacrifice for the other. Now the thing is this, the point I'm making is this, that the mettle of the Muslim or man is tested in his financial dealing, in his ma'amalat, and in his akhlaq. And that is the one which is missing. So we are legally Muslims, but are we mentally, ideologically Muslim or not? That's something else. Now the thing is this, you saw what happened, for example, in the case of Libya, when the revolution started or people protest started. What did Qaddafi say? In order to gain the consent of America or his help, he said, well, they want to establish Islamic government. They want Al-Qaeda. So in other words, to establish Islamic government was a crime. And therefore, that's why he wanted to help. So the point I'm making is this, which you must understand, that Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. Aqaid, we are Muslim, Alhamdulillah. In the ibadat, we alhamdulillah do whatever has been required. But the real test comes in our mamlaat and akhlaq. But the thing, it is this time, that is young age, that is the time when you earn. There is a hadith of Rasulullah sallam, it's a long hadith. It says there are seven categories of people, Muslims, who will be granted shade of his arsh on that day, yawma la dhilla illa dhillu. On that day when there will be no other shade available except Allah's shade, his arsh. Seven categories of people. It's a long hadith, I won't go into that. The first category is understandable. The first category is Al-Imam Al-Adil, a just ruler, which is understandable. Because the Imam or the head of the government, on his shoulder the responsibility of everybody. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he became Khalifa, or Hazrat Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became Khalifa, Hazrat Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to run in the alleys of Medina, crying and telling people, is anybody there who is prepared to take over my responsibility? Because he was conscious of his accountability to Allah, the responsibility that had been given to him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, same thing. He said, even if a goat is missing somewhere in my domain, I'm responsible for that. So, Al-Imam Al-Adil, understandable. Because he has got lots of other responsibility. But surprisingly, the second category which Allah Ta'ala, which Rasulullah Sallam mentioned here, is a sha'abun nasha'abin fi ibadatillah. A young man whose life has been spent in the servitude of Allah Ta'ala. That is the young age. There's a couplet, famous poet, Jugal Murad Abadi, he said, I'll translate it just now. Din jawani ki jigar bekhabri mein guzre. Din jawani ki jigar bekhabri mein guzre. Hosh ka waqt jab aaya to mujhe hosh na tha. That my period of life in the young age is spent in forgetfulness, absolutely senseless. And when I wanted to recover from this thing, I had fallen so deep in senselessness that I could not recover. But the time is lost. And therefore, normally what happens, that when the man attains the age of 50 or about that time, and he realizes now the time may be nearing, then he turns to Islam, Islamic value system. But by the time, children also growing. So at that time, he wants to impose Islamic morality and things like this. The children say, look, daddy, when you were young, you didn't do that. Children are observant. Grandparents have no consequence. Yes, they have little bit of influence as such. But the children, they imitate their parents, not grandparents. Grandparents are there just to play with them, that's all. But, or spoil them at the most. But, the children also enjoy this. But the children, if the parents are not making namaz, children will not make namaz, even the grandparents make tahajjud, doesn't make a difference. You see, the parents, that is the pillar of that small society that we're talking about. And this young man, when he's young, at that time, he has got everything else except to do what he was supposed to do. When the age goes and man becomes old, at that time he comes back to his original place. That is, we think that he is adult, but he is no longer adult. How many times it happened? Ask doctors. But the thing is this, also I have got complaint about the doctors also, and a gynecologist, obstetrician, a heart specialist, or anybody for that matter. If you really want to learn from there, go to hospital watch and see what's happening there. But because a child is born every day, a pediatrician brings a child every day to him or to her, it's a normal thing. There's no miracle in it. Hardly he or she thinks any miraculous thing in it. Don't worry about it. Heart, which is pumping. Cardiologists, they do it every day. But they never have a time to think about how Allah Ta'ala has created that whole anatomy which is working. The proportion which Allah Ta'ala has created. We don't think about it. Likewise, the old man, he is adult, looks like adult, he acts like adult, but his brain is no longer adult. How many times it happens every day to us that if you're taking your child, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, or your brother or sister who are there, and you see a horse, and he asks, what is this? You say, this is a horse. He asks you second time, third time, fourth time, five times. And each time you answer, this is a horse. And if he doesn't ask, then you ask him, what is this? So you enjoy at that time. But your old father, your grandfather asks the same question. This is a horse. Second time, third time. What do you say? You say, didn't I tell you this is a horse? Don't you understand this? Because we think they are adult, but they're no longer adult. They've gone back to something else. How many times it happens in our Taraweeh or Namaz, that by the time the old man gets up from the sajda, comes stand up, by the time the Imam is ready to go to the next ruku. So the point I'm making is that this is the time period for us to earn is this young age. This is when we are. This is where if you put your life properly on even keel in the obedience of Allah, halal is halal, haram is haram. Don't look for loopholes. Don't go to this marana, that marana. Whoever gives the answer that you're looking for, that's not right. When the Sharia hukum comes, it's just accepted as whomsoever you trust. And then you accept it and leave it to Allah Ta'ala, whatever happens. If you have got this aqaid, you have to pay a price for that. If you're not prepared to pay a price, everybody pays a price for his ideology, whatever it may be. Even a thief, a robber pays the same price for ideology. He knows that he may be caught, but still he does it. So if we are prepared to pay the price, we'll do that, inshallah. But if you don't, then we'll be like a foreign leaf as we are. Whatever I have said, I myself deserve the same admonition. If you have understood, Allah Ta'ala make dua, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us. And make dua also, Allah Ta'ala, that Maulana Patel Sahib comes back safely. He has gone to charge his battery because our Shaykh is there now. So after he comes back, inshallah, it will be resumed. That will happen. Make dua for me and for yourself also, mashallah. Wa akhir da'wah bil alamin. Assalamu alaikum.